The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a decision that was bantered about for months, what felt like years. The dialogue, the rhetoric, it was overbearing about how we would be going forward. The choices sometimes seemed clear, but the gray area ventured in. In one case, we were told that things were on the goal line, only to find out we had 99 yards ahead of us and not just 1 foot. Of course, I'm talking about the Steelers wide receiver saga. It finally came to an end on Tuesday, a day of decision in this nation. But did the Steelers make the right one? It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan until 7:30 tonight. We have the Thursday night football matchup, and it's a good one. An AFC North clash between Cincy and Baltimore, kickoff at 8:15, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass. He will be with Joe and myself tomorrow from 10 to 2. A little shuffling of the deck had to take place, so Jolie will be with me for the next two shows that I'm on this microphone. We will get into that Thursday night matchup a little bit later on and with some more detail since it is within the division shared with the Steelers. The Steelers are 72 hours, under 72 hours away from beginning the second half of their schedule, which is a gauntlet on paper, but they don't play the games on paper. In their final eight games, they have six of those against their own division. Or their final nine games, they have six of those against their own division. They have the Commanders on Sunday, a much more difficult game than it looked preseason. The Chiefs, who have won back-to-back Super Bowls and are the only undefeated team in football. And the Philadelphia Eagles, who are red hot, and with that game being in Philly, it is a place where the Steelers almost never win. The Steelers did finally make a move at wide receiver. They acquired Mike Williams from the New York Jets for a fifth-round pick. And here is what Williams had to say on coming to Pittsburgh.
I mean, Russ, everybody see it. You know, he put the work in, time in, time out. A leader on and off the field. So just very thankful to have a guy like that, you know, quarterback of this team, a leader.
What's your understanding of what your role is going to be and how much playing time you might see?
We ain't really talk about that yet. Right now, you know, I had a pretty good day-to-day quite a bit. So, you know, keep building the rest of the weekend, see where we at on Sunday.
You notice a couple of those shots that he took, subtle shots at Aaron Rodgers, his quarterback in New York this season. He emphasized the word leader a couple of times when talking about Russell Wilson. What's your grade on that move? 412-928-9370. I'm going to open it up to you. I want to know what you out there think of the moves that the Steelers made at the trade deadline. We start with the one at receiver. We will get to the other trade that was made for Preston Smith in a few minutes. I gave the Mike Williams move a B-. I didn't mean it in a harsh way. We knew it wouldn't be a big splash or a huge splash. All of those players were gone or they never really existed on the Steelers' radar. The viable options that were left on Tuesday were Mike Williams, Adam Thielen, and Darius Slayton. And it seemed like Slayton was being held at ransom by the Giants, that they needed something that absolutely blew their doors off to move him. They did not end up doing so. Thielen also stayed in Carolina to help mold their young wide receivers. We saw the report. We read the report. We talked about the report regarding Christian Kirk. He could have been a Steeler if he does not get injured in a game with the Jags a couple of weeks ago. I never really saw guys like DK Metcalf as a real option, although everybody does have a price. Just ask Ted DiBiase. Seattle still being in the running for the NFC West, kind of like the Cooper Kupp thing. Those teams still being in the conversation because that division is wide open. All of those teams are hovering right around 500. That division is there for the taking. I wouldn't step off players in this case unless you were absolutely blown away. I'm not elated by the Williams move. I don't know how much it moves the needle from a national scope looking down at the Steelers from a 10,000-foot view, but I do think it helps out this offense. It seems to be a pretty good consensus that people like where the offense is at overall. I think it's pretty fair to say so. Joel, would you say overall where the Steelers' offense is at right now, something that you are satisfied with?
I would say so. Under Russell Wilson, you know, there could be a little bit of, there's always room for improvement, right? You know, but considering some of the other Steelers' offenses we've seen over recent seasons and with, you know, less than ideal quarterback play, seems like things are good right now with Russell Wilson and that there's always a little room for improvement.
And they added a player that can potentially have a little bit of a rebirth. Do I think he gets back to his prime self? No. But I also think that's just unrealistic. This is a player that in 2019 had over 1,000 yards. He led the league in yards per reception at 20.4. In 2021, he had his best season, nearly 1,150 yards on 76 grabs and 9 touchdowns. Do I think he can get back to that? No, but we cannot expect that out of him. 2 seasons ago, he had almost 900 yards and 4 touchdowns in 13 games with the Chargers. So he had a shot to have another 1,000-yard season. Last year, he only played in 3 games. He had about 250 yards. This season with the Jets, he didn't play a ton despite being active for every game. The Jets are a team that, despite the record, pretty loaded at receiver. They have 2 number one guys. They traded for Devontae Adams. They already had Garrett Wilson, and they have a few of Aaron Rodgers' buddies on the roster. Now, the Venn diagram there has Devontae Adams in the middle because he is a buddy of Aaron Rodgers. They also have Alan Lazard. I'm surprised he didn't try to pry Randall Cobb back for another season or maybe give Jordy Nelson a phone call. Who knows what he was up to?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But those seemed to be the guys that he was riding with. He could not have cared less about Mike Williams, basically from the get-go. And then after that Jets-Bills game, when Rodgers threw a late-game interception, it was pretty clear that the quarterback was done with the wide receiver. So much so that when the Steelers and Jets played, there were Steeler fans yelling down to Williams on that visiting sideline at Acrisure Stadium, telling him to just stay in town. And I don't think that was a bad idea. The Steelers played New York teams back-to-back at home, the Jets and the Giants. I thought in both cases, hey, there's a receiver on that other sideline that should probably be on the Steelers' sideline by the trade deadline. They did get one of them. They got one of them. The Steelers got Mike Williams for a fifth-round pick. Does it look like a slight overpay? Maybe. I think if they try to make this deal 2 weeks ago, they probably get him for a seventh or maybe a conditional pick that becomes a sixth. I don't know. Something of that nature, but I think for a lesser price than what they got him at the deadline. Sometimes the due diligence being done means in the end you have to pay a little bit steeper of a price. Sometimes it works in the other direction. Think about when they acquired Justin Fields. They waited and waited and waited. Nobody really wanted them. They signed Russell Wilson. Kenny Pickett wanted out of town. They make that trade. And then, hey, here we go. We have Justin Fields for a conditional sixth-round pick. But then in this case, I think they could have gotten a receiver for cheaper if they go a little bit earlier in the process. But all in all, a pick in round five, I don't think is a bad price, especially when the Steelers have another fifth rounder from the Kevin Dotson trade. The Steelers also love parting with fifth round draft picks. They have only had a fifth round pick in five of their last 10 draft classes. And they have not had a fifth-round pick in their last three drafts. Joel, a little trivia question for you here. The most recent fifth-round pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers, do you know who it is?
Oh, gosh, was it this year?
No, they haven't had a pick. I know you're doing other stuff back there. Trust me, I'm in that position all the time. They haven't had a pick in the fifth round in the last three drafts. So it goes back to 2021. That should tell you that clue. And this player is still on the roster, believe it or not.
I know they took a long snapper a handful of years ago. I doubt it's him. But
no, good guess. That was 2017, and it was around that point. They did not use their last pick on a long snapper. Still one of the dumbest draft picks ever made by this franchise. This guy is still on the roster. He gets in, he plays, not a ton, plays sort of a rotation type role, and every single year we get to camp, and he is always a dude that's teetering on that line of will he make the team or will he get cut?
Oh, man. I got to be better at this.
I believe he also has a pretty big special teams play this year. That doesn't help a ton because they've had a lot of those guys step up.
I'm lost. I don't think I'm going to get it. Offense or defense?
Defense.
I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it.
Isaiah Loudermilk.
Nice.
In 2021. And they actually traded up into the fifth round to get Loudermilk in that draft. So it wasn't even like they had that pick initially. They had to move up and get him there. The Steelers also parted with a seventh-round pick to acquire Preston Smith from the Packers. How do you feel about this one? 412-928-9370. This one looked a little questionable from the Packers' end. Because even though Smith is having a down year and is over 30, he's been a pretty good edge rusher for his entire career. So maybe there's a story as to why that happened. Here is Preston Smith yesterday with Steelers media.
I was excited a few weeks ago. I requested a trade. I didn't feel like I was being useful in the system, and it wasn't catering to my play style. Moving forward, like I wasn't surprised when I got the call. It's like, you know, I got what I asked for, and I'm at a great place with some great teammates. And, you know, I'm excited for a new start, and I'm excited for the rest of this journey for this season.
So there it is. There's the answer. In black and white, clear as crystal, I requested a trade a couple of weeks ago. I like this move even more, believe it or not. Now, does it help a direct need? No, because I think about the last thing on their roster that from a surface level, the Steelers need, I would say, edge rusher, because their best player is an edge rusher, and probably a top five player on their roster is also an edge rusher. That is TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith, if you needed that spelled out for you. But this is a sneaky, savvy move for a team that wants to win right now, and they are bringing in players as backup plans in case something happens. So Smith requested a trade from the Packers, and the Packers found a partner, and that partner just so happens to already have TJ Watt, already have Alex Highsmith, and already have Nick Herbig. I gave this trade an A-. What about you? 412-928-9370. I love the price that they had to pay here. A seventh-round pick, and we can go through some of the names in a little bit on guys drafted in the seventh round for the Steelers. We could go back 20-plus years. It ain't a pretty list, so I'm not overly worried about what the Steelers may have lost out on to get Preston Smith for just the last 9 games and hopefully a playoff run. The salary is also not all that bad when you realize it's $2 million this season and then next 2 years, yeah, the number looks pretty steep. It's double digits per season. But the Steelers can cut bait and not worry about it. Those numbers are not guaranteed to Smith. So unless they really love what the guy brings to the table, and given who they already have at the position, they'd have to be blown away. I'm not worried about them getting caught up in the financials. He's a really nice backup plan if an injury takes place. TJ Watt has missed games in the last few years. He's normally a guy that misses a couple per year unless the injury is more serious like it was a few years back. Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig have missed games this season. Think of that Raiders game. It didn't end up mattering. The Steelers won that one well in hand, but they had TJ Watt out there with a lot of no-name players on the other side. Jeremiah Bad Moon Rising was out there on the other side. He had a big blocked punt in that game. But they had randoms that you have probably never heard of play in that game. This opens up a nice little backup plan. And it's a better option than some of the guys that we've had in the past. I've mentioned that game against the Raiders earlier this year, but we have seen seasons in the past when the Steelers have an injury that just completely screws up what they have at the position. And now they bring in a veteran who has had some really solid seasons. This year, not a great one for Smith, but he is seeing the play time really get cut down. That's why he requested a trade. Only 2.5 sacks this season in 9 games. But in the last 3 years for Smith, 9 sacks, 8.5 sacks, 8 sacks. His career high was 2019. He had 12 sacks. So he can be a player, a part-time player, that ends up picking up some important reps. He's a good player against the run, a big body, 6'5", almost 270 pounds. A big body athlete who can set the edge. I think the Steelers got better on Tuesday. And I think this team is in the Super Bowl conversation. If you're within the top 6 to 8 teams in football, I think you're in on that party. I think that conference call includes you. And I think they are right now. 412-928-9370. What do you make of the Steelers' moves at the trade deadline? Mike Williams, they get a receiver, a big-bodied receiver, to play opposite George Pickens, work into an offense that's already humming pretty good. They get a nice backup plan at edge rusher, Preston Smith. What grades do you give the Steelers for the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. Is this team in the Super Bowl conversation? Do you look at them as a contender? Do you look at them and say, you know what, unlike in years past, I actually can see the Steelers hanging around with the big dogs of the AFC? 412-928-9370. Your calls coming up next. I want to hear from Steeler fans out there on their thoughts from the trade deadline. 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on the fan text line at that same number. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. 6:40, time to get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, until 7:30 tonight. The NFL on Westwood One will take over then. Thursday night football, and it's a good one, especially if you are a Steelers fan, something to keep tuned to. AFC North clash between the Ravens and the Bengals. Joel and I will pick that game a little bit later. We'll get into that. We'll dive deeper into the Thursday night game more than what we usually would, than just giving picks. Joel will have his same gamers and his best bets ready to go. We will have that coming up before we kick it over to Westwood One. We're going to dive into maybe where the rooting interest should lie tonight. But right now, I'm taking your calls on the Steelers trade deadline. 412-928-9370. The Steelers make 2 moves. They part with a 5th-round pick, send that to the Jets in exchange for wide receiver Mike Williams. They then trade for edge rusher Preston Smith from the Packers in exchange for a 7th-round pick. How do you feel about these trades? What grades would you give these trades? What overall grade would you give the Steelers at the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. We start with Brian in Indiana. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. What's on your mind?
I will tell you this. I'm going to give both those grades. I say an A for Mike Williams and an A for Preston Smith. And the reason why I'm saying that is anytime you can add depth to the wide receiver group and even on defense, that's an A grade for me. One thing I like about Mike Williams is he does have a knack for the moon ball. Russell Wilson loves to throw that that pass a lot, and he gets open a lot. And I like Preston Smith because he can get to the quarterback. And with this group of defenders that we got between T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, he's going to make all them guys better.
Brian, it sounds like you're pretty optimistic about this team. Would you say they are a Super Bowl contender halfway through?
Well, you know, I bleed black and gold. I lived through the tough times with the, with these guys, and I'm very patient. I kept telling my friends, be patient, be patient. I don't want to quite say Super Bowl yet. I want to go back to 2005 when Cowher used to say one game at a time, and that's kind of where my mindset is. But I will say I definitely think that we are going to be a playoff threat.
Do you think they could win the AFC North, or do you think that would go to Baltimore or maybe Cincinnati if they get rolling in the second half?
Well, right now, I think they could win the AFC North, but they're going to have to win the games that they need to win. Baltimore struggles against us, but, you know, then again, we struggle against them sometimes. But if we win the AFC North, there's a good chance if we can become a two seed, we can go pretty deep. We can make a run for this thing.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you taking the time and giving us a call. 412-928-9370. Brian sounded pretty optimistic. He didn't want to quite say the Steelers were a Super Bowl contender, but he loved the trades. A for Mike Williams and A for Preston Smith. Do you have the trades that high? 412-928-9370. Colby is in Wexford. What's up, Colby?
What's up, Don? How are you?
Good, good.
Good. I'm going to preface this. I'm a Clemson graduate. So,
okay.
Mike Williams is a good player. He's got 31 touchdowns since he's been in the NFL, 19 of which of those are in the red zone. So he immediately upgrades your red zone potential. As far as a contested catch rate, he's over 50%. He's never fumbled in the league. He's never had a holding call in the league. So same to get the running game going, if you have a wide receiver who's never had a holding call on him, that's pretty good as far as that goes. His only drawback is the ability to stay healthy. Now, if we can get him to stay healthy, then I think you've got a good, certainly a good number two receiver right there.
I didn't know that. Thank you for the call, Colby. I did not know that about the holding call thing. That's pretty impressive. I mean, it's a dude who's played in the league for almost a decade. This is year number 8 for Mike Williams. Not have a holding call and be a pretty respectable blocker. I'd say it's a pretty impressive thing to do for anyone at any position to have that on your ledger. And the fumble thing I did know about, he has been someone pretty careful with the football. If it is in his hands, 0 fumbles in 8 years in the NFL. 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on these Steelers trades. Mike Williams for a 5th-round pick. Preston Smith for a 7th-round pick. 412-928-9370. Mr. Old School is on the fan. What's up, Mr. Old School?
How's it going, my guy?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, listen. Preston Smith started every game for Green Bay, and we got him for a 7th-round pick. I don't know how you can't get no better than an A for me for that. The guy is 31 years old, and he's a power guy. And now he can do the Leal thing now. He can move him inside or outside. I think it's an amazing pick. It's a good depth piece. And he, him and Herbig, I mean, you're not going to miss a beat with those guys coming in. And I love the Mike Williams pick. I would have loved Slayton better out of New York because he gives a little wiggle. But Mike is going to open up the middle of that field because when he runs deep, you are not just going to be able to put one man on him. You're not going to be able to put a 5'10 cornerback on him and think he's not going to go up and get contested catches. That guy gets contested catches, and so I'm looking forward to it. He looks good. He said he's ready to go. And I think the Steelers are going to win the AFC, and I think we're going to the AFC Championship game.
Ho-ho! All right, Mr. Old School. Thank you for the call. AFC Championship game for your Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, I'll say this. Sometimes they say history repeats itself, Jolie. Not to get too political, the guy that won the other night, the last time he won, the Steelers did get to the AFC Championship game that year. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And I believe that was the year that the Cavs won the NBA title. The Cavs are the final undefeated team in the association. Maybe there's something to this. Maybe there's something to this. Joel, we're going to do a little activity here in a second that has to do with the Preston Smith trade. But your take on the Steelers trades. We'll start with the Mike Williams one. They bring a wide receiver in here, finally, for a fifth-round pick from the Jets.
I like it, and I like that it opens up the field, even if, and I mean, Mike Williams, what, he would get like two catches for 15, 20 yards with the Jets. Nothing crazy. If he could be, I don't know, a 35, 40-yard receiver for the Steelers, I think that ends up being ideal, you know, if that's what his typical games are at worst in the black and gold. But he's, even if he's not making any catches, I think defenses will still respect his ability to get downfield. And so, you know, the rest of the field is going to be open for Russell Wilson and the Steelers.
Yeah, my thought with it this whole time, as the season went on, and especially after the offense started to click a little bit, even when it was Justin Fields playing, but especially once Russell Wilson took over, these last two games, you can't help but be impressed by what the offense has done. And yeah, you could say, well, they played the Jets and the Giants. Those two teams have better defenses than what the team looks like overall. So you have to get that perception out of your mind that, well, that team sucks, so the offense should have put up a lot of points. Because I'm sure there's still people out there that just assume the Ravens have a good defense. The Ravens' defense stinks. You'll probably see that on display tonight. Joel and I will get into that game a little bit more coming up, but tonight we're going to see a lot of points, I expect, on Thursday Night Football, barring injury or bad weather. But my thought the whole time going in was, hey, the last couple of games, the Steelers' offense has really looked good. Russell Wilson has looked a lot better than pretty much anybody expected. And, hey, you know what? Yeah, Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin, they're playing better. But just imagine that offense getting a piece added to it that could help. And that's what they're doing here. Because Williams was clearly the odd man out in New York. I don't know if it was just his ability that you could point to and say, well, he's washed. He's washed. He's done. The Jets are one of those teams that have a player at the quarterback position that basically sets the tone. If he doesn't like a player, that dude ain't going to get on the field. By hook or by crook, that dude ain't going to get on the field. And that's the story of Mike Williams with the Jets. He fell into the doghouse with Aaron Rodgers, and that was that. Do I think he's going to put up 1,000 yards again? No. But he can be pretty serviceable, I think, opposite of George Pickens, and he can be a dude that goes up there for the patented Russell Wilson moonball. Joel, your thoughts on the what I think is a pretty savvy, smart move for them to bring in Preston Smith?
It seems like the kind of trade where they would get a fifth-round pick or a sixth-round pick for Preston Smith, maybe even a fourth-round pick. The fact that it was a seventh-round pick feels like there's almost no risk, and who knows how much reward. The Steelers' edge rush group now is T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig when he returns to playing from injury, and Preston Smith. This is a loaded group. It only got better with Preston Smith. If I'm an offense, an opposing offense, and I got to face those four guys throughout a game, gosh. Preston Smith was a household name on that Green Bay defense too, And those guys are in the NFC playoff hunt right now. So a little bit interesting trade. I know he wanted to trade out of Green Bay, but still, Preston Smith should have been traded for a fifth or sixth. Steelers get him for a seventh. Omar Khan absolutely cooked on that trade.
And let's take a little trip down memory lane here, shall we, when it comes to seventh round picks and the Steelers. Now, yeah, it's quite often and quite common that teams don't hit on seventh round picks. Those are basically lottery tickets. If you have a good player from the seventh round, then you either did a hell of a job scouting or you got really damn lucky. But let's just paint a picture of what the Steelers have done in the seventh round, and we'll just keep on going back, and we'll try to count up the amount of serviceable slash good players they have had, which is why I'm not too worried about the Steelers losing out on a seventh round pick. This past draft, they didn't even have one. They had two picks in round number six. The one before that, a pair of seventh round picks, Corey Trice, Spencer Anderson. Anderson was okay in a couple of spot starts early this season. He's versatile on the offensive line. He'll likely be kept around because of that versatility, but never viewed as a starter. Corey Trice, a lot of potential there, but the health is a major concern with him. He's only ever played in a few games. He did have a pick against the Broncos back in week two. 2022, Mark Robinson. I liked him early on and thought maybe they found something here, but that has since been wiped away. I forget that the dude is even on the roster. Chris Oladokun was the second quarterback they took in that draft. But hey, a multi-time Super Bowl winner as the backup or one of the backups to Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. How about 2021? They had a couple of seventh rounders there. Trey Norwood, who started out of the gate and just slowly got worse. Presley Harvin III, the man that won the Ray Guy Award and was kept around as the Steelers punter for far too long. And again, another lesson, you should never draft a friggin' punter at all. A punter should be had as an undrafted free agent or just plain old free agency. Go get a veteran. Do not draft the guy. Do not waste your draft picks. 2020, Carlos Davis, the defensive tackle, played in a dozen games with the Steelers, one sack. 2019, Derwin Gray, five games in a Steelers uniform for the offensive lineman taken with their final selection in 2019. How about 2018? This one even better. Defensive tackle Joshua Frazier. This guy never put on a Steelers uniform. The D-tackle out of Alabama. 2017, another doozy. Keon Adams from Western Michigan, the outside linebacker. Joel, you want to guess how many games he played as a Steeler?
Zero, zilch, nada.
Zero. By the way, that was the same draft, Joel. They drafted Colin Holba, the long snapper from Louisville, before that, and the dude never played a down for the Steelers. 2016, DeMarcus Ayers, he had a few minutes in the sun, I guess. The wide receiver out of Houston, he did have a touchdown in his Steelers tenure. Tyler Matakevich has become a special teams ace. I would say they hit on that one, actually. The dude has played in well over 100 games in his career, and he's turned into a good special teams player. 2015, Gerard Holloman, never played a down. 2014, Rob Blanchflower, never played a down. 2013, Nick Williams became good with another team, not with the Steelers. 2012, Kelvin Beachum. Now, that was a pretty good seventh-round pick. He ended up having a really solid NFL career for over a decade, the versatile offensive lineman from SMU. But how about these other guys they drafted in 2012 in the seventh round? Tony Clemens, David Paulson, Terrence Frederick. I mean, you got to be kidding me here. 2011, Baron Batch. The guy's more well-known as a painter in Pittsburgh. The running back out of Texas Tech. 2010, Doug Worthington. And what was actually a pretty good draft for the Steelers, if you remember. They got Pouncey, Worlds, Emmanuel Sanders with their first three picks. They also got some guy named Antonio Brown in the sixth round that year, pick 195 overall. But the guy in the seventh round, nah, he didn't work out. 2009, A.Q. Shipley had a good career, not with the Steelers. Credit to him, local guy, a Moon product, a Penn Stater. Turned in a pretty solid NFL career for over a decade. He didn't do it here. David Johnson, the tight end. Man, David Johnson, one of their best seventh-round picks. Just think about that for a second. So you go back like 15 years. A lot of these guys never played in a game. They never played in a game, or they never even put on a Steelers uniform. So yeah, I'm not really worried about trading a seventh-round pick, especially when you get a player of Preston Smith's ability. And yeah, you're going to say, well, he's into his 30s now. He's 32 years old. He is having a down year. He can still serve the Steelers in a part-time role. I have pretty good faith in that. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. 50-minute mark, we kind of blew right past that. That is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up, we will get into the Thursday night football matchup. We will make our picks for Thursday night football, and Joel will have some of his best bets. That is coming up. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Fan Twitter, that's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Donnie Football with you for a little longer tonight. 7:30 is when our coverage of Thursday night football begins, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. A good one tonight to follow. The Bengals and the Ravens in Baltimore. I think the Ravens are going to have some their alternate, like all purple. Forget what they called it, like Purple Rise or something. I don't know if you saw that, Joel.
It looks pretty good, especially the helmet, too.
I'm not sure yet how I feel about the logo on the side. Like, I think I'm going to wait until I see it in action. Which might be kind of a weird answer, but we'll see. If you watch the game on Prime, if you don't have Prime, you can check out the game right here on 93.7 The Fan, kickoff at 8:15. Again, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. We're going to dive into this one a little bit more than what we would any other Thursday night game. We always like giving our picks for the game. I like to throw it to Joel to give his best bets and maybe a little same game parlay for whatever the game may be. But this should be one that Steelers fans are tuned into. It'll be a fun one. A lot of points are likely. Both offenses have the ability to make this a track meet. And I don't think either defense has a pair of track shoes. How do you find yourself rooting in this game, though? Because you could give the old, oh, I hope both teams lose. Let's hope for a tie. Like, okay, yeah, that's all good and fun. And you can not want either team to win. I understand that. It is the Ravens and the Bengals playing, after all. And I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you want to watch the Penguins game and not really worry about a fun Thursday night football game, so be it. But I think a lot of people in this area, sorry to the Penguins, I think a lot of people in this area will be pretty tuned in to what is happening in this Thursday night game. I'm actually, and this may surprise you, and Joel, I'll let you get your take in a few minutes. We're going to pick the games in a few minutes. I'm actually rooting for the Ravens in this one. And it might sound crazy. That might sound nuts. And Doug Whaley talked about this with the morning show guys yesterday. We talked about this, myself, Pony, and Chris, about 2 hours ago. And the guys said it was one of the dumbest things that they've ever heard. Which, hey, you know, if I have that same thought, I'm not going to take offense to it. But I can certainly see where Doug is coming from, and I saw where Doug was coming from. Why would you root for the Ravens in this one? They're going to be around for the rest of the season. I obviously understand the logic of, hey, if they lose tonight, let's say the Steelers win on Sunday, then all of a sudden the Ravens are 6-4, the Steelers are 7-2, and then the two teams play each other in Pittsburgh the next Sunday. Let's say the Steelers win that one. The Ravens all of a sudden 6-5, and the Steelers are 8-2. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. No doubt about it. I mean, the Steelers would be 2.5 games ahead of the Ravens in the middle of November. And they'd have a 2.5 game lead at least in the AFC North. Yeah, I would be a fan of that. Obviously, if tonight doesn't go the way of my slight rooting interest, it won't be anything devastating. But I don't see the Ravens going anywhere anytime soon. I think it's just too good of a team. And barring injury, they're not going to just randomly fall off. The logic that Doug had and the logic that I can certainly see on his side of things, which is why I almost lean to agree with him, I think you need to see as many body blows taken to the body of Joe Burrow and that Bengals team as possible. Another loss would drop them to 4-6. Another loss in conference would have them at 2-4 in AFC play. And a loss in division would have them at 1-2 in AFC North play. That makes their road to the postseason all the more difficult going forward. I would much rather get Joe Burrow out of the equation if it is possible. Because I do not want any part of that guy in the postseason, nor do many other teams, if I had to guess. That was the beauty of the argument. And I brought it up to the guys, and Chris, even though he has a super fandom for Joe Burrow, he couldn't quite get himself there because he also has a super fandom for Lamar Jackson. But I got Pony at the end of it, Joel, when I said this. If there was a playoff game tomorrow, if the Steelers played either the Bengals or the Ravens in a playoff game specifically tomorrow, consider the histories here, which team would you feel more comfortable playing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was for me. I'd rather play Cincinnati than Baltimore, because Baltimore has had another 6-3, but Baltimore has had what feels like a, you know, semi magical season. Lamar Jackson is just, he's simply doing his thing, and they've got Derrick Henry. And the Steelers, you know, haven't seen Derrick Henry on the Ravens until now. So, part of me, it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. You know, it's almost like a double-edged sword. I'd rather face Cincinnati than Baltimore. That's just me.
I think I would rather play the Ravens. I would. Recent history the Steelers have against the Ravens does favor Pittsburgh. They, for whatever reason, are able to stymie Lamar Jackson every time they play. And Lamar Jackson, he could have as many MVP awards as he wants on that shelf. He crumbles a bit in the playoffs. He's had good playoff games. It's not like he's never won a playoff game. But he has come up short every time in the playoffs. You get Joe Burrow in the playoffs, I want no part of that. I want absolutely no part of Joe Burrow in the playoffs, because this guy has done nothing but prove when it's not on their side, when they're against all odds, they could go into whatever building as an underdog and they could take care of business because they all believe that number 9 will get it done. That's my logic there. I want no part of Joe Burrow in the postseason. Knock that dude out of here. Get the Bengals out of the equation. I'll take my chances with Baltimore in the postseason before I take the chances with Joe Burrow. All right, let's pick the game, Jolie. Cincinnati, +6 at Baltimore on Thursday Night Football. I'll let you make the pick first.
I'm going to go Baltimore. I think the books are trying to trap everybody in thinking you can get 6 points with the Bengals. This Baltimore team is really good. I know they're 6-3. They're not really a 3-loss team. Baltimore, I think, is going to cover this number.
I do, too. I think it's going to be, like I said, a track meet. So I think it's going to be really entertaining, but I think it could be like 38-31, 38-30, something like that. So I will also take Baltimore to win and cover against Cincinnati. Joel, some of your best bets for this game.
Little same-game parlay action. Ja'Marr Chase, 50 receiving yards. Zay Flowers, 40 receiving yards. Mark Andrews, 25 receiving yards. And Mark Andrews for a touchdown tonight, +165. He's got 4 scores in his last 4 games.
Oh, I like that one, Jolie. I may lock that one in. Joel, pretty good. He's pretty good when you put him up to the broiler on the same game parlays. He keeps it on planet Earth. He doesn't get out over his skis. But if you want to make a few bucks, Joel, a good guy to follow for these games. Joel, a thank you to you as always. A thank you to the folks that chimed in as well. We'll be getting to work together tomorrow with Joe Starkey from 10 to 2. First, fan weather. That's brought to you by Sun Chevy. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Mostly clear and cool overnight, low of 43. Donnie Football signing off on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.